Acts chapter 15, verse 11 and 29. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as the Gentiles. But you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. For 60 years, there has been a tension among us. Some fear that the struggle to remain faithful to every word of Jesus just occupies too much attention. Others fear that the desire to do everything possible to share the good news of salvation by grace alone is leading to compromising the word. Sin and Satan fuel that tension. But the Holy Spirit leads us to confess the truth evangelically and to evangelize confessionally. It's not new with us. At the time of our text, the early Christian churches had been struggling with that same tension for 25 years. Some feared that the struggle to remain faithful to God's word was going too far by insisting on keeping the Old Testament ceremonial laws and thus hindering the gospel going to the Gentiles. Others feared that sharing the good news of salvation by grace alone with the Gentiles without the ceremonial law was compromising God's word. This tension boiled over, and it led to the first recorded synodical council. Do we feel that there are some among us who are complacently compromising God's word with the fleshly excuses and procrastinations of our flesh? Do we feel that some are quenching the spirit with loveless judgmentalism? And do we feel that Jesus couldn't have meant for us to convict every false teaching because love is to forgive and preserve peace? If so, then the correction that Jesus gives through the Jerusalem Council may be needed by us. Jesus has abrogated, ended, the Old Testament ceremonial laws. And so any attempt to impose even one of them as a requirement for salvation was and is an attack on salvation by grace alone through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, they concluded, "It is only through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved." In our attempts to be faithful to Jesus, are we tempted to make requirements that go beyond Christ's word, or to judge other Christians on the basis of my own opinions, my resentments, my excuses for sin? The yoke of the law is a burden that not one of us is able to pull. So thanks be to God that Christ pulled that burden of the law in perfect fulfillment for you and for me. That he broke that yoke on us with the blood-bought forgiveness of all of your sins. So why then did Jesus ask them to abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality? Seems like a really strange mixture. Well, the last one, sexual immorality, is forbidden by Jesus' universal moral law. While the others, now in the New Testament, are adiaphora, things that Jesus has neither commanded nor forbidden. But all of them were at that time pagan practices associated with the worship of their idols, and so especially offensive. None of them were being laid down by the council as a condition of salvation. For what was their conclusion? Verse 11, it is alone by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. Yet where there is that faith in Christ, that faith will strive to live in the love that treasures Christ's commandments. Thus, the requested abstentions are evangelical advice on how love will avoid both moral sin and anything that will cause offense. In this case, those who had grown up under the Old Testament ceremonial laws often had a visceral reaction against people violating them. And doubly so in these cases with the connotation of pagan idolatry. Long ago now, that transition from the Old Testament ceremonial laws as well as the pagan connotation of these actions has expired. And so the need to abstain from these adiaphora mentioned has also expired. But Christ's moral will never expires. And so faith in Christ bears fruit in fleeing sexual immorality and every sin. Yet our flesh is a master at finding excuses for whatever it is that I want to do. And so when it comes to adiaphora, our flesh may readily suggest, hey, if anybody has a problem with my actions in an adiaphora, that's their problem, not mine. But when the Holy Spirit calls for an abstention from these three adiaphora alongside of a moral sin, he is thereby telling us that when Christian love calls for an abstention from an action to avoid offense, that is just as binding as the Ten Commandments. With heart and life, then, and love for Jesus, let us confess the truth evangelically and evangelize confessionally. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 283. 283.